gloomy shadows might be lightened, that the world might be brought back to God, Satan's deceptive power was to be broken. This could not be done by force. The exercise of force is contrary to the principles of God's government. He desires only the service of love. And love cannot be commanded. It cannot be won by force or authority. Only by love is love awakened. To know God is to love him. His character must be manifested in contrast to the character of Satan. This work only one being in all the universe could do. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it known. Upon the world's dark night, the Son of Righteousness must rise with healing in his wings. The plan for our redemption was not an afterthought, a plan formulated after the fall of Adam. It was a revelation of the mystery which hath been kept in silence through times eternal. It was an unfolding of the principles that from eternal ages have been the foundation of God's throne. From the beginning, God and Christ knew of the apostasy of Satan and of the fall of man through the deceptive power of the apostate. God did not ordain that sin should exist, but he foresaw its existence and made provision to meet the terrible emergency. So great was his love for the world that he covenanted to give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the beginning, God spoke a word, and earth came into being. His spirit hovered over the waters, and darkness was over the face of the oceans. Again God spoke, and light blazed forth. With another word, he made the heavens, and with the breath of his mouth, the stars. Christ was the living light of all creation, by whom all things and beings were made. On that day, in the beginning, the heavens declared the glory of God. The angels shouted for joy, and then the stars began to sing.
Thank you.
The Savior's coming was foretold in Eden. When Adam and Eve first heard the promise, they looked for its speedy fulfillment. They joyfully welcomed their firstborn son, hoping that he might be the deliverer. But the fulfillment of the promise tarried. Those who first received it died without the sight. From the days of Enoch, the promise was repeated through patriarchs and prophets, keeping alive the hope of his appearing, and yet he came not. The prophecy of Daniel revealed the time of his advent, but not all rightly interpreted the message. Century after century passed, the voices of the prophets ceased. The hand of the oppressor was heavy upon Israel, and many were ready to exclaim, "The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth."
Thank you.
While few understood the nature of Christ's mission, there was a widespread expectation of a mighty prince who should establish his kingdom in Israel and who should come as a deliverer to the nations. The fullness of the time had come. Humanity, becoming more degraded through ages of transgression, called for the coming of the Redeemer. Satan had been working to make the gulf deep and impassable between earth and heaven. By his falsehoods, he had emboldened men in sin. It was his purpose to wear out the forbearance of God and to extinguish his love for man so that he would abandon the world to satanic jurisdiction. Then Jesus came to restore in man the image of his Maker. None but Christ can fashion anew the character that has been ruined by sin. He came to expel the demons that had controlled the will. He came to lift us up from the dust, to reshape the marred character after the pattern of his divine character, and to make it beautiful with his own glory.
Thank you.
above the hills of Bethlehem are gathered an innumerable throng of angels. They wait the signal to declare the glad news to the world. Had the leaders in Israel been true to their trust, they might have shared the joy of heralding the birth of Jesus, but now they are passed by. In the fields where the boy David had led his flock, shepherds were still keeping watch by night. Through the silent hours, they talked together of the promised Savior and prayed for the coming of the King to David's throne. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." At these words, visions of glory fill the minds of the listening shepherds. The Deliverer has come to Israel. Power, exaltation, triumph are associated with his coming. Therefore, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Praise him, sun and moon and shining stars. Praise him, oceans and rivers. Rejoice, snow and clouds, wind and frost. Sing, mountains and canyons, eagles and whales. Dance for joy, young and old. Our God shines forth. Angels attend Joseph and Mary as they journey from their home in Nazareth to the city of David. The decree of Imperial Rome for the enrollment of the peoples of her vast dominion has extended to the dwellers among the hills of Galilee. As in old time, Cyrus was called to the throne of the world's empire that he might set free the captives of the Lord, so Caesar Augustus is made the agent for the fulfillment of God's purpose in bringing the mother of Jesus to Bethlehem. She is of the lineage of David, and the son of David must be born in David's city. Out of Bethlehem, said the prophet, shall he come forth, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from the days of eternity. But in the city of their royal line, Joseph and Mary are unrecognized and unhonored. Weary and homeless, they traverse the entire length of the narrow street, from the gate of the city to the eastern extremity of the town, vainly seeking a resting place for the night. There is no room for them at the crowded inn. In a rude building where the beasts are sheltered, they at last find refuge, and here the Redeemer of the world is born.
In the shadow of a star.
After the heavenly angel had quieted the shepherds' fears, he told them how to find Jesus. With tender regard for their human weakness, he had given them time to become accustomed to the divine radiance. Then the glory could no longer be hidden. The whole plain was lighted up with the bright shining of the host of God. Earth was hushed, and heaven stooped to listen to the song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Oh, that today the human family could recognize that song. The declaration then made, the note then struck, will swell to the close of time and resound to the ends of the earth. When the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, that song will be re-echoed by the voice of a great multitude as the voice of many waters saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth."
Thank you.
As the angels disappeared, the light faded away, and the shadows of night once more fell on the hills of Bethlehem. But the brightest picture ever beheld by human eyes remained in the memory of the shepherds. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Departing with great joy, they made known the things they had seen and heard. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. Heaven and earth are no wider today, apart today, than when shepherds listened to the angel's song. Humanity is still as much the object of heaven's solicitude as when common men of common occupations met angels at noonday and talked with the heavenly messengers in the vineyards and the fields. To us in the common walks of life, heaven may be very near. Angels from the courts above will attend the steps of those who come and go at God's command. The story of Bethlehem is an exhaustless theme. In it is hidden the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Our Redeemer thirsts for recognition. He hungers for the sympathy and love of those whom he has purchased with his own blood. He longs with inexpressible desire that they should come to him and have life. As the mother watches for the smile of recognition from her little child, which tells of the dawning of intelligence, so does Christ watch for the expression of grateful love, which shows that spiritual life is begun in the soul.
See you later.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." The wise men from the east were philosophers. They belonged to a large and influential class that included men of noble birth and comprised much of the wealth and learning of their nation. Among these were many who imposed on the credulity of the people. Others were upright men who studied the indications of providence in nature and who were honored for their integrity and wisdom. Of this character were the wise men who came to Jesus. The prophets of old, their message foretold, of a star who through Judah would rise, whose light would shed beams on heavenly plans that would usher in evil's demise. This starling of heaven, the angel's delight, the apple of God's holy eye, commissioned of heaven by prearranged plan, would forces of evil defy. The armies of heaven, though eager to fight, to contend in this battle for man, would not be allowed to enter the war, but would act on the Master's command. This star would arise in the weakness of flesh and be housed in a pure maiden mild. He was fathered by God, yet in heaven had trod, and would come as an innocent child. He took on himself not a palace or wealth, but the poverty mankind must bear, that no earthly attraction would prove a distraction from the goal he had come down to share. This star of the morning would shed heaven's light on all who would open their hearts to the warmth of the words and the generous deeds which he did in kindness impart. The humble in mind received him with joy, while the proud were too mighty to bend, for his purity and his pronouncement of truth did cut to the quick and offend. They sought him like ravenous wolves seeking prey, for they envied his weight with the crowd, while the light he would shed would awaken the dead, enraging the haughty and proud. Ignoring their statutes of justice and right, they trumped up their charges at trial, condemning the innocent star who was sent, while washing their hands of the guile. This star of the morning was hung on a tree in infamy, sorrow, and shame, while ignorant men with loud boasting words abused him while cursing his name. The lightning exploded, the darkness enclosed, as the earth shook in sympathy there. "It is finished," he cried, while in terror men shook as they stared at the scene in despair. And yet, though it seemed that the light had gone out, 2 days later, the star would arise to envelop the earth with its glorious rays, which no one but God could devise. All heaven rejoiced in this victory below, as evil recoiled at the sight, for all of the children of men could now bask in the morning star's shimmering light. Then sing, O ye heavens, and loudly proclaim that the weakest of mankind on earth can revel in him whose luminous beams would offer all men second birth. In astronomy, the morning star is the brightest star, seen in the eastern sky just before the break of dawn. At that moment, the surrounding night is darkest, and the morning star appears brightest against its ebony sky. So it is for us. At the moment when our lives are darkest, in the grip of our spiritual night, the morning star heralds the coming of dawn, a new day of rebirth. Against this dark night of the soul, the morning star seems brightest. At the end of our long night, the morning star appears. Radiant star from Earth's dark night, sent to bring the morning light, press the darkness far away and shine to light the dreary day. Morning star that sets us free, may we keep our eyes on thee, till our hearts with glory shine, glowing with the light divine.
Thank you. At this time, we'd like to take a moment and from all of the choir, thank Lemmy Beth for all of her hard work. It's a lot to put together a program like this and to get the people all together and pick the program, so we wanted to thank you.